You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I recognize the divine spirit within you, Matt Neely.
A little Arsenio Hall action there. Yes, sir.
Oh, let's not ruin it with Arsenio. Now, you want to talk about Carsenio. I had my index finger artificially elongated. Hey, you're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. U.S. Congressman Schweikert coming up soon, and then Juan Almanza, bottom of the hour, and then Goldwater talking about ESAs and the attack on ESAs from Chris Mays. Someone remind Laura Conover that Chris Mays used to be a Republican until 3 days before she decided to run as a Democrat.
Which is allegedly a bad thing, I'm told. So, yeah.
Again, so the take no, it's never their fault, a reality show, we're working on this, right? So I reached out to Conover's people, Wadsack's people, right? Rahina Romero's people and Rex Scott's people, and we're going to put the four of them in a car. We could put Carrie Lake in there too. Maybe we'll knock out, yeah, let's do Carrie Lake. So that would be, we'll do bipartisan two and two, right?
Okay.
So what we do is Rahina and Conover with Wadsack and Carrie Lake, okay, all in a convertible going across the country.
Comedians in cars. Yeah.
Right. Correct. So okay, we got that going for us. While we're waiting for David, I think I'm going to read the letter to the editor from Judge Bernini, or the column she wrote for Green Valley News. Remember, August 17th, we're going to have our wingding at Westward Look. Please let me know you're coming at wakeuptucson@gmail.com. And again, it's our fundraiser for Southern Arizona Honor Flight. Thanks to everyone donating amazing things, especially Tucson Coin and Autograph over on Orange Grove and Oracle for donating a 20-gram chunk of gold that's going to be raffled off. So, very, very cool. Now, you got to get to... one other thing before I get to this. I thought about this. I heard someone talking about their alma mater for the school they went to.
Yes.
And I don't... I'm sure it developed some other way years ago, but it is the worst nomer ever, is alma mater.
Why is that?
Because if you think...
Steeped in tradition.
You fake news.
You think your college, uh-huh, is your soul mother,
uh-huh,
you're misguided. Okay, so I'm putting it down right now. If your soul mother,
baby daddy, then where do we go with this?
I'm changing the Democrats can change the language. D. Simone's changing the language. We're not doing alma mater. Okay. Soul mother for the NAU's my soul mother. Why don't I just quit the brass knuckles and punch myself in the groin 20 times?
Okay.
NAU's my soul mother. National Alcoholics University is my soul mother. Get the hell out of here.
You can change it to vendor or is it?
That's right. Former. It's my fave. Former academic vendor.
It's your diploma vendor.
That's it.
Okay.
That's it.
All right.
Don't stop saying alma mater. You sound foolish. You don't even know it. And if you're and you're the college that wants to soak you for giving money to the alumni instead of starving children, right? And they, but we're your soul mother. Don't you want to support your soul mother?
Fake news.
You know? So I'm putting a sword in that one.
The line's been drawn.
It's done. It's done. We're no longer doing alma mater. Stupidest name humanly possible. Former academic vendor. That's it. That's where we're at. So let's go to Congressman Schweikert. Good morning, sir.
Yeah, I don't know why you want to even speak to me. I mean, it's not like there's anything going on.
Well, I was just talking about, I'm putting the
line. Which once-in-a-lifetime event are we dealing with today,
you know, Congressman? You know how the Democrats rephrase, you know, change the language? I don't like the word alma mater. No way is NAU my soul mother. I think it's just the stupidest thing ever. So I'm going former academic vendor. Just want to let you guys know that. These people can go to hell. It's a marketing campaign by alumni associations. Kiss my grits, as Flo once said.
And what happens when they go out and hire the PR shop that's just wrapped around incredible you know, leftists who are just so concerned about feelings. I think, you know, lumberjacks are horrible people. I mean, they cut down trees, they carry weapons, you know, those axes.
Like I said, Northern Alcoholics University, I would never consider. If I think that's my soul mother, I got problems. Just telling you.
It's all around us.
It is.
It's all around us.
So where do you want to start today? What you want to start with?
Let's do a little speed test. So we had Netanyahu here yesterday.
Yes.
Half the Democrats did not show up to the speech. And those that did, half of them would not stand up, even when it was just discussions about basic human morality. If you look, and I don't know how the C-SPAN cameras, if they covered it. So if you're someone who actually supports the only thriving Democratic Republic in the Middle East, and you're a Democrat, you have an amazing ability to rationalize.
I want to do my favorite quote from Netanyahu while Tlaib was holding her war criminal sign up during the whole thing. Netanyahu, I have a message for the anti-Israeli protesters. When the tyrants of Tehran who hang gays from cranes and murder women for not covering their hair are praising and promoting and funding you, you officially become Iran's useful idiots, unquote.
Oh, yes. And I had such a good view of a number of my Democrat colleagues who you should have just seen their faces pucker up when he said that.
I guess there were insurrectionists in the buildings in D.C., but they're not insurrectionists. They're just peaceful protesters.
Yeah, peaceful protesters said you have to put zip ties and drag them out of the building so the staff can get out of their offices at the end of the day. And then you have the shirt, the demonstration of love for the Democratic Republic over, you know, down the street at Union Station. You know, spray painting the monuments, blocking the traffic, burning flags, you know. And the best part, some of the analysis of the audience, of the protesters, you know, all college-educated Anglos.
Of course, it's always that.
But it gives you a demonstration. You know, people say, oh, it's going to be young people from the universities. No. These are middle-aged radicals who all live in suburban and have, you know, it's what has happened to these people? It's like they missed the 1960s, so they want to go burn something.
It's unbelievable. Before we go to break, talk to me about switching the coup of the old man and installing Kamala as
the... I want you to give me credit for something. 2 weeks ago, I'm on your show, and I told you it's always about the money. If the political money starts to be held back from the Biden campaign, the political consultants, the whole leftist industrial complex, just like we have a conservative industrial complex, will lose their minds, and that's where the real pressure will come from. Do you remember that part of the conversation?
I do remember that.
And what happened?
Exactly what you said.
Rich leftists started to withhold their campaign money.
Yeah.
And as soon as it became evident, what happened?
Even the Hollywooders were holding their money back, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm. And now those same people have opened up the spigots to reintroduce the vice president to the public. And in an election like this, where it's a tiny, tiny, tiny portion of the U.S. population that will decide this election. I mean, the people who are listening to your radio station, how many of them are persuadable voters? They already know, because they listen to something like this, they're part of that tiny population that knows what the hell's going on. But you have people out there, you stuck a microphone in, they would have no idea who the vice president of the United States is. And that's who's going to decide this election.
All right, hold that thought. I want to continue this on the other side of the break. We're talking to our friend Congressman Schweikert. What number coffee are you on right now?
Actually, well, it's probably four, but I'm drinking the full size ones today.
Yeah,
I'm walking around with my travel mug.
I love it. All right, hold on. We're playing the tunes of the ninth presidential election year. This is we're doing 1976. Getting a little break from the disco here. There's some yacht rock in there too. You're in Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. All right, remember we're doing presidential election year playlists. This is 1976. Jimmy Carter defeated Gerald Ford. And let's head back to U.S. Congressman David Schweigert. David, welcome back, buddy.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hello.
Now that we're in Trump.
Yeah, we're calming down. We're trying to chill out because it's been a fairly intense week. I'll never engage in the heresy of decaf coffee, but oh come on,
that stuff is horrible.
Oh,
that's just horrible.
It has been fascinating, and you're missing also all of a sudden. A lot of organizations out there have figured out that how much of the tax code expires next year.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they're just some moments before this call, I had, part of the business roundtable and those in my office going, well, we need this and we need that, and their arguments are actually quite economically honest, but just saying, your CEOs, your corporations, you have refused to almost talk to Republicans for years because, if you hang out with a Republican, you don't get to go to the fancy cocktail parties. It's just how we were talking about the protesters who are sort of anti-Zionist, almost anti, many of them are just plain anti-Semitic. They appear to be educated, late middle age, suburban, mostly female. I mean, that's an honest observation.
So talking about the election and how that you talk about that tiny percentage that's going to make the difference in a presidential election. Mm-hmm. Talk about the, Trump v. Harris dynamic here with that small group of voters.
Let's go in the Wayback Machine. Do you remember a guy named Rush Limbaugh?
Yes, I do.
Okay, Rush used to talk often about the low-information voters.
Yes.
Now, it wasn't meant to be mean. It was people who are taking care of their family. They're just trying to survive in the world. They're busy. Politics doesn't run their life. In many ways, their faith or their family are just surviving at their work. But many of those people have never listened to a talk radio show. They've never really read a political article. They don't go home and watch cable news or Bloomberg or those sorts of things. They go home and watch Netflix. Turns out that tiny population are the last persuadable voters. In Arizona, even the fact that independents are now our number one registration in Arizona, most of them already have their ideological fix.
Right.
So it turns out if you're out there campaigning, trying to help the cause, talking to those that already have a yard sign up in front of their house is probably not worth your time. You're digging, you're mining to try to find who are the people who are not engaged, but are going to be sending that ballot in.
I was repeating some Schweikertisms. I was the guest speaker at the Tucson Women Republican Club on Monday, and I told them, I said, you got to go find those 8 or 10 people in your sphere that you know aren't voting Republican, and maybe they don't know, and have that discussion with them one way or the other. Start there.
And what's so hard is so many of these conversations when I'm out walking door to door, when I have someone that we built our own scoring system, says, okay, this is potentially persuadable. I have to start with the conversation about their feelings, which, you have to respect, and then walk them through moving on from, hey, but this Republican state legislator said this crazy thing, or this one said this crazy thing, or this makes me angry, or why would this person, and then try to move them to, defending their family, their economic vitality, their opportunity, their own retirement. And sometimes I think our most powerful way to persuade folks to vote for us is not necessarily to win their heart, but try to win their mind. Self-interest is the most common way people vote. And trying to explain to them that their prosperity will be better, which I can argue is moral, by voting our direction than voting for the left.
What's the top three issues that we're seeing in polling for Democrats and then independents?
For the voters we need, which is what we care about.
Yes.
We don't really care about the Democrats because we can't get their vote.
Yeah.
Inflation, number one. Economics, and that's often referred to as my ability to, I have job stability, economic growth. The economic one's fairly big. Border is, and it's not immigration, it's border. Don't say immigration, it's border. But that's actually third, but it's a distant third. The top two we're seeing in our persuadable voters are all economics.
Where's abortion in that mix?
It's four and it's way down. And what we're finding in that issue is the people that have that as their issue already know where they're voting. Our job is to find persuadables, and if that is your issue, you already know where you're voting.
All right, so so persuadable suburban moms, same issues?
Economics. How do they pay their rent? How do they pay for the kids' tuition? How do they finance a vacation? How do they finance their retirement?
According to the Democrat Party, I have to eliminate all greedy fat cats, according to the Democrat Party.
But that you don't engage in the leftist rhetoric because most folks don't believe that.
Yep.
And what you're finding, it's fascinating, is you see families making $100,000, $200,000 who in the crosstabs and those things are stressed out of their mind. They're even having problems.
Our friend Robert down in Sonoyta, as Bongino says, the Republicans might be the answer to all your problems, but the Democrats are surely the cause, unquote.
I like it. And so sell the morality of prosperity.
Oh, I love that. Morality of prosperity. Another good one. Thank you, my friend. Dream Weaver's sending you off to the rest of your day.
One of my favorites.
All right, my friend, have a great day. 7:35 in the morning, you're on Wake Up Tucson from U.S. Congressman David Schweikert, who was on his fourth double espresso of the morning. So not at full cornholio mode at that point, Matt, but getting close. Our good friend Juan Almanza from El Taco Rustico Uno y Dos.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
We're kicking off our America's Best Mexican Food interview series sponsored by Visit Tucson. And it's going to be, our goal is to introduce you to various facets of our amazing Mexican food scene over the next so many weeks. And I couldn't think of a better guy to kick off than our good friend Juan. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing very good this morning. That's a morning and day.
First of all, you brought us the beautiful tray of costilla and breakfast burrito.
Oh, yeah. Something to wake up happy.
That and filthy pirate coffee is the way to go, as we say. How's things at the new Rustico?
Well, we have a news. We are AC already. That was kind of hot last month. And we decided to set mini splits, and then now it's nice and fresh, cool.
I love the new location. The inside of it's big, it's spacious. You did a nice job, the decorating of it.
Yeah, we still working on it. I think I'm going to put some TV screens to watch the games, some sports,
soccer. All we care about. We just want to put some European and Mexican soccer on. I'm fine with that.
And then we're going to get a beer and wine. And soon, we already get working the license.
Yeah, I mean, it just makes sense, right? You want a cold beer with your quesadilla taco.
Yeah,
it's time to get there.
And this probably is going to be ready by October, so ready for the season.
Very cool. And you've been perfecting your smoking in the smokers at Dose. This is something you've been working on since you took over the building.
Yes, sir. And that's I think it's we already got the perfect brisket. Actually, no, like a couple of days ago, because we're working with the times. We don't have it all time to be in the restaurant taking care of the brisket, the smoking meats.
Right.
So, but definitely we already get the times. We put the brisket early around 9 in the morning.
Okay.
And it's ready by like 8-10 hours.
Okay.
So,
again, as you know, Chris feels that Tucson is smoked brisket deficient, and I need you to be there, out there with good brisket.
We try.
So when will this stuff be available to purchase? When do you think?
We're ready.
Now I can go to Dose and get smoked brisket.
Yes, sir. Brisket, baby back pork ribs, and we have a pulled pork.
Oh my lord!
And I think it's all the three things we have.
This is your fourth, just south of 22nd. No, what's the new one?
And Park.
Yeah, Park. Sorry, Park.
And,
I apologize.
Park and Silver Lake.
Park and Silver Lake. You'll see it. It's on the west side of the road. Beautiful building. And so now you can get smoked brisket, pulled pork, baby back ribs.
Yes. Even those beef ribs.
Yes. They look amazing. I'll put them up on Facebook in a little bit. You guys can take a look at it. But there's a giant pile of platter of ribs and breakfast burritos, which Matt is already digging into his breakfast burrito. So are we okay? Okay, he's good. He's happy. He's got food in his mouth. God bless him. So, you know, part of this whole thing with Visit Tucson, the best Mexican food city in America, it's something where I think it's pretty simple that there might be other places that have great Mexican food in it. I'm not saying there's not. We're just saying as a collective, Tucson has the best Mexican food in America. What do you think about that claim?
Because I have a lot of the good Mexican people,
right?
Chefs in the city, and
yep.
Then everybody tried to make it some the effort to make the best food, you know.
Correct.
So I try some Mexican food in Tucson, and for being honest, it's good.
There are good places in other cities, but it's so funny. I when I have friends that live in other cities and they know I'm very involved with this Mexican food thing in Tucson, they always go, I want to take you to this place. It's our place, you know? And it's fine. It's fine. It's okay. But, you know, we have such a good selection and cross section of stuff. Is there is there something in the Mexican cuisine world, because we have the regions of Mexico that have different cuisines, is there a region we're missing in Tucson, you think, that you think would work in Tucson?
Well, I think the food from really south of Mexico, like Yucatan.
Oh, okay.
The cochinita pibil. This food is, haven't seen any people make it.
So I know Say's Kitchen tries to do a pibil. It's fine, you know, but what's the right way to make a cochinita pibil?
Well, the best, the ingredient is the achote mix.
Right.
They have to make with really sour oranges. And it's really hard to find it here in Arizona. It's something you can only find in the south of Mexico.
So this is a sour orange kind of red chili mix.
Yes, it's adobo. It's they call. Oh my God, I forgot the name they use for this. It's like a adobo, like a mole.
Okay.
And they soak the meat for overnight in this.
Okay.
And then they cover it with the banana leaves.
Right.
And they cook in the brick ovens too.
So how would you, so in Tucson, if you were going to do a cochinita pibil right now, how would you, would banana leaf it and slow cook it in an oven?
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. Is there pineapple as part of that or not?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. That's just our al pastor.
It's nothing like pastor thing. It's so completely different.
Okay. I used to be at a place in Phoenix. I used to get a solid cochinita pibil, and it was really interesting because their version of, they called it, I guess it was their quesadilla, they called it a quesadilla, but, and they said they were kind of, it was from that Yucatan region. It was more like a, let's say it's like a, it was like a big empanada, but it had, it was made of cornmeal.
Yep.
Kind of thing. And then they stuffed the cochinita pibil in this cornmeal kind of empanada. Does that sound right? I mean, that's what it, that's what it, that's
it's
what
something,
it was.
They make, I think it's in Yucatan too. They cover, they can cover all full pig.
Right.
With corn.
Okay.
Cornmeal, like a masa.
Right.
And then they, like a big tamal. So you, they just bake it, cook it in the brick oven, and then they open it.
Right.
So there's the masa already cooking the outside.
Oh, okay.
And then the meat inside. So it's, I think it's a version of the big.
Gotcha.
But in the small.
I love the idea of a whole pig tamal. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something really, really traditional in Yucatan.
We should do that for New Year's this year. Let's do a whole pig tamal.
Sometimes they do just the head.
Okay.
I never tried it, but I see some.
You know, growing up in New York with Italian, you know, a lot of people from the old country, you know, they were always doing the sheep's head as part of Easter, especially.
Uh-huh.
I just never liked anything that had to do with the head of the quote animal. Wasn't my bag, baby. Matt, what's your review over there?
Amazing. Costilla, just fabulous. As is the burrito. Thank you very much, Chef.
Thank you.
All right, let's go to Brushfire Sean on line two. He's got some love for the Almanzo. What's up?
Happy Taco Thursday. Ladies and gentlemen, my word might not be much to you guys, but Chris, I've never lied on the air. I've never lied to you on the air. I've made mistakes, but I didn't lie. And I'm going to tell you what, Juan, when I met you that day, that is the most beautifully decorated restaurant I have ever been in this town. It is stunning. The barbecue out front. You want to see a guy that welds all day go out and slobber all over your barbecue? I'm like, oh my God, it's out of a train car. It's a boiler out of a train car, Juan. Yeah. I have one here.
Yeah, that's the Mr. Quesa Ertish. He leave it for us. That's a nice tanks. Those are amazing. I love those smokers.
It is absolutely stunning. And ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know, that was, those rivets in there are beat in there by a hammer and a man with a hammer just beating those rivets. And it is beautiful. It is beautiful. And the food, I'm not kidding. It's the best. Yeah, folks, it's Taco Thursday. Let's take care of this guy. The one at 29th and Park. Let's do something right for Tucson. Let's make this town better. Let's make Juan a happy camper.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Okay, did I do it right, Chris, or what?
You did. You did a wonderful job.
Great.
Good
thank
job,
you.
Man. Love it.
I am so glad I can drive there in my golf cart. I took my Toyota over there, but I go over to Peterbilt over there. Oh, God. Chris, don't drive under the bridge. Don't drive under the bridge at Park and I-10. Oh, my God.
Are you telling me I might need a hazmat suit?
It has turned in. I mean,
Sean's all for Clint.
It is an experience when you see them all cluttered up like I Am Legend.
Yeah, thank you.
You know how they all cluttered up?
I did.
That's what they look like in the middle of the day. They're all cluttered up. I think they're leaning on each other because I don't know what. There was about 40 of them there yesterday.
Oh.
I'm like, my God.
All right. Well, I'm glad you always enjoy the good food that Juan does at Rustico, man. I appreciate it. And your love for all Mexican food in this town. So good job.
Thanks for coming on our side of our barrio. I really appreciate it because Grant and Stone is kind of a, I don't know.
Grant and Oracle.
To the Circle K. Grant and Oracle. Sorry about that. A little too close to that Circle K, but hey, you're doing a great job there too. Been to both of them, and I'll tell you what. You're a pro. You are an absolute pro, and thank you. Thank you for what you do.
All right. Thank you, Sean. All right, my friend. What's hours of operations at the two Rusticos?
Well, the park location, we stay open from 11 to 8.
Okay.
And Saturday and Sunday, Friday and Saturday, we close at 9.
Beautiful.
And then the Oracle location from 7 in the morning to 9 every day.
I love it.
And as soon as we get the license for the beer license, we're gonna start open probably from the new location from 7 to 8.
Awesome. All right, my friend. Well, keep up the great work. Thanks for kicking off the America's Best Mexican Food Interviews.
Thank you for calling by me. I'm always happy to be here.
And again, go to americasbestmexicanfood.com for Visit Tucson's list of all these amazing restaurants. And there is an app that you can put on your phone that you can keep track of where all these amazing places are.
Is this a new location? I think I already talked to you about it. It's on Prince, right next to the Herradero. It's okay. The name is
This is not Charquitas, is it?
No, it's right next to the
Herradero. So it's in the shopping center in Herradero.
Yeah, they make Michoacan food.
Really?
And it's really original flavors. It's
So this is the northeast corner of Prince and Flowing Wells. Okay, hold on. This is the kind of live radio we're doing here. Anadero, Prince, Tucson. Let's do that. There we go. We're gonna go do the map, and then we're gonna see what the heck the name of this place is next to it. And it is. Hopefully, it shows up on the map. I got it. I think it's Primos.
Yeah, Primos. Mm-hmm.
So. Primo's Mexican food.
They make really original Michoacan style food.
Okay.
It's a little different to the North Mexico.
So what would be typical of, what would be like if I went in there and wanted something that was very Michoacan, what would I get?
I think they make this mole. The Michoacan mole is delicious.
Okay. I love it. All right, so give it a shot. It's next to El Heredero on Prince and Flowing Wells in the shopping center. It's called Primos Mexican Food, and it's giving you a little love of the region of Michoacan. So that's a good tip, Mr. Almanza. Mm-hmm. Love it.
Yeah. I tried already, and the soups, like the menudo, and they do different. I think they don't use corn in the menudo.
Okay.
They use just the meat from the menudo.
Gotcha.
So it's a really good place to try. I mean,
all right. Flavors. So if you haven't been to either Taco Rustico, you need to go like yesterday. And then, especially now that Park in Silver Lake is now, he's got the full smoked meat thing going between the pulled pork, smoked brisket, and ribs. Give that a shot. And then Primos on Prince and Flowing Wells.
Yeah, I'd recommend this place.
Good job, my friend.
Thank you.
All right, give a hug to Cynthia and the fam, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, always.
All right, Goldwater coming up at the top of the hour. Betsy wanted more Bay City Rollers on this show. We deliver. Wake up. This guy, Almanza, is like a wizard.
Wow.
Those costilla ribs are just perfectly rendered, just off the charts. I don't have time to do the Judge Bernini column in the Green Valley. We'll do it after Goldwater. But Gabriela Rico over at the Dead Star. Thank God, Rio Nuevo is running out of ideas. Okay. They're going to do $580,000 of your dollars for a grab-and-go... What does this say? De Novo Market and Tap on 177 North Church in the Transamerica Building. $580,000.
Half a mil.
Also,
$580,000.
Wow. Okay. Also supported to two new concepts in the Monier Building at 160 South Avenida del Convento, Herbert's Deli, and the Annex Commissary. A creative shared kitchen will get $232,000. Again, we've run out of ideas.
$100 billion.
Just have a space, a lease, and put your hand out, and Rio Nuevo Board will hand it to you. Whether or not you're good, you suck, they don't even care anymore. They just have a pulse and a lease. That's where we're at Rio Nuevo. Very inspiring. I love this one. This is from about a week ago. Howie Fisher at Capital Media Services. This is a story. Governor Hobbs calls for end of to inflammatory rhetoric, but uses it herself. I can't believe Howie Fisher called out racist Katie to be a hypocrite. She has used the term dangerous and extremists with the political foes, refused to answer questions about whether or not she's part of the problem. Howie Fisher, who's pretty much a lefty, asked her, aren't you part of the problem? And she refused to answer the question. Now, the worst thing is Ashley in Sonoyta loves my Katie Hobbs impression. So I think I'm doing this. This one goes out to Ash. Whether they live in Elgin or Sonoyta. Quote, political violence has no place in this country, and voicing our political opinions peacefully is absolutely paramount. Isn't that a TV station? Paramount. To preserve the sanctity of our democracy. It's terrible. We have to come together, and we have to stop inflaming this kind of rhetoric using this kind of rhetoric. Oh, boy. Too often our communities are being torn apart by politics. We need to come together and remember our neighbors and friends and American citizens, all united by a love of our country. A bunch of people on your side don't really like the country, my friend. But later in her comments, later to reporters, she declined to say how much she believes the rhetoric of politics inflames and leads to these kind of situations. So when asked about how this contributes, the quote is, I'm not going to get into that, unquote.
That's what she does. They asked her for examples of how she personally lowered inflation after four economists said it's a dubious claim at best. And she says, well, we'll just move along to the next subject.
I said it to Kate Gallego and Regina Romero, and they said I did it. So it's got to be real. It's two mayors. Kate, I know she only married Ruben to get his last name. But anyway, you're on Wake Up Tucson. Voice, local news and talk. Hopefully someone from, let's see, Goldwater. Oh, Matt Beinberg is coming in. Beinberg from Goldwater in the next several minutes. I'm going back to eating ribs and breakfast burritos.
It's a good thing.
Wake up Tucson.